Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And again, we will be broadcasting a webcast on January 1st, 2001. The Phil Henry Show presents a live, uncensored, and unedited webcast of the Tournament of Roses Parade, complete with Margaret Gray, Harvey Wireman, R.C. Collins, Bobby Dooley, all the cast of characters, the whole gang. You can't hear it on the radio. You can't see it live. You can only listen via the Internet for $4.95. This will be a historic presentation, live and uncensored, as only the Phil Henry Show can do it, for just $4.95. The first time the Turn of Roses Parade is broadcast on the web, and the first time it's a paper listen, first time it's done uncensored, unedited, unexpurgated, unmessed with. Go to philhenryshow.com. That's PHILHENDRIE show.com for more details. We've made $62,090.50 with the sale of the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. All the money goes to my friend's place. And I got home last night and I watched the speech from Al Gore, and I watched the one from George Bush. One from Gore was more interesting only because I voted for the guy. But yeah, sure, it was great. And of course, I'm listening to Tim and Neil, and they're talking about how it sucked. Or something like that. The only reason I was listening to Tim and Neil, because I heard that it was the Tim and Neil show last night. Yeah, I flipped them on, and they're talking about, this is the Tim and Neil show, as they're giving their appraisal of the Al Gore speech. And, of course, Tim's original point of view was, he should have kept on fighting. He should have kept on going, man. I know he could win it. I know he could do it. Yeah, okay, Punchy. Sure, yeah, keep right on fighting there, Al. Jeez, what a lunatic. Anyway, so I was watching the guy, you know, look, I was feeling real good about the whole thing, like everybody else. You know, I applauded him, and it was real nice. And then Bush, he said whatever it is that he says. I can't figure out what that guy's talking about. You guys got to be kidding with him. Hey, no kidding. Now that you won... Now that you cats won, let me just say this. You got to be kidding me with that guy. We had a guy, at least we had a guy who got a little, you know, he got a little something under his belt. Senate, vice president, a little military experience, a whole lot of brains. George W. Bush, are you serious? Good luck. And then I heard something really interesting today. Somebody said, well, you know, let's not go too far with this partisanship thing. Because everybody's talking about how it's good that the country's coming together. It's good that everybody's going to be working together. It's good, 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 good. And then someone said, well, now hold on just a little bit. I think it was one of those shows on CNN, Hardball, Ass Kiss, Ass Kick, Firing Line, Crossfire, Bloodlet. Whatever, it was one of those shows. There's one show on there, I swear, it's like Ass on the Fire. And the theme of the show was, is this partisanship thing going too far? I'm thinking, yeah, you know, you're right. We're going way too far with this partisanship thing. What we really want to do is just continue to keep the country split apart. Let's just keep right on duking it out. That's really fun. It's great, and it's good for the country. Well, it's really not good for the country, but what the hell? It makes for good headlines. Tim and Neil. Anyway, so I'm watching this thing, and I couldn't believe my ears. These guys are saying, yeah, this partisanship thing's going overboard, okay? Well, whatever, okay? Do whatever you guys need to do, but I don't think it's such a bad idea that people are able to sit down and talk to each other. You're going to have to do it anyway. We're going too far with the partisanship thing. What we really need is to keep on keeping on with the good old-fashioned American politics as usual, where nobody really knows what the hell it is they're talking about. And everybody's got their separate agenda, and we're just going to keep right on keeping things just status quo, which is nobody getting anything done. That's really what we want. I mean, come on. You can't really be serious when you say that we're going to work in hands across the aisle and work together for, you know, making things proceed in a wonderful, positive way. We don't really want to do that, do we, here on Ass on the Fire? Give us a call. But Bush, I was listening to him last night, And I could see him going from one teleprompter to the other teleprompter to the other teleprompter and to this one to that one. You guys are saying, now that's not very partisan, the spirit of you, Phil. I mean, you're not being very kind to the guy. I don't care. We don't talk politics on the show. I was forced into doing it because of this election. And don't mean nothing, man. I mean, sure, we'll take a few shots at the guy. He's the president. But he's whatever he is. I mean, just go, 4 years, just fine. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Here you go. Yeah. Things are sure going to get good now. There. Does that make you feel better? Now that we got George Bush in there, it's going to get a whole lot better. Yes, sirree. You know something? Republicans have never, ever, never. Now listen to this. Because I'm going to lay some truth on you, baby, right now. Republicans have never, ever had an original idea about anything. 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 Name it. Nothing. They've never had any ideas about anything. They've never done truly anything other than fall back on concepts that were tried and sometimes true and sometimes fail. For instance, tax cuts. Government rollback and tax cuts. It's not a new idea. But what happens is Democratic policies, Democratic presidents, and Democratic Congresses pass legislation and create programs, some of which work, some of which don't. And it's a very easy thing to do to sit there and shoot down the ones that aren't working so well and even take pot shots at the one that are, because you've got a target. You got something to shoot at. You have a lot of stuff created by people to see if perhaps something can work to motivate some sector of society at any given time. But when you don't do anything, and I mean when you don't do anything other than go on and on and on and on and on and on and on about cutting taxes, and you just keep going on until people want to puke freaking liver bile, and that's all you ever talk about, you know what? There really isn't too much to take a pot shot at. You guys just hide behind that one. That's all you do. You don't do anything. You got no ideas. And you got a guy sitting there right now who's president of the United States who is, and when I say do something, I'm not talking about it. See, when Clinton was president, people would say he hasn't done anything, which of course was bullcrap. People would say he hasn't done anything. They didn't look at the record. When I'm talking about not doing anything, I mean really not doing anything. Now, all this stuff that we got to, like Social Security, well, you know who created that? Or is that something that you guys think is bad? Which is it? Well, a Democratic president created that. You know that, don't you? And there's another thing called unemployment insurance. Guess who created it? Well, another Democratic president created that. And things like Medicare. See, these are programs that were presented primarily by Democrats. They have become part and parcel of the society. They've become an absolute locked-in part of our society to the point where even George Bush wants to save Social Security. Even George Bush wants to do something about Medicare, and even George Bush believes in unemployment insurance. He's a conservative Republican, though, but there's some things you can't undo, and that's one of them, two of them, three of them. You can say it's weak, you can say it's bad, you can say it's creeping socialism. Hey, cops, that's a socialistic idea too. The fact that we all pay taxes for a police force. The fact that we pay taxes for an army. But you know what? I'm probably getting too heavy. I'm probably talking a whole lot of heavy stuff that you don't want to hear about, you know. You go ahead. You win. You got Bush. Good for you. Hey. All right. And it's going to get good now, man. It's going to be so great now with that cat in there. You just wait and see. Everything's going to get really great. What exactly needs to get better that isn't already good? Well, I don't know. Stuff. Race relations? Oh, I got it. Yeah, Bush. He'll really push those race relations ahead, won't he? Yeah, that's it. Sure. Oh, wait a minute. I wasn't talking about that. Anyway, congratulations. Very nice speech, both of you guys. I believed every word that both you cats said. I'm not sure you wrote them, but I believe every word that you guys said. And onward and upward, and have at it, and way to go, man. And to hell. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. And we got our Christmas tree, too, and I was decorating it with the little one last night because the guys, they don't do that, man. They're up watching Dragon Ball Z, which is the new rave craves at our house. I don't know about yours. Dragon Ball Z is where it's at. I don't know what it's about, but they want it taped, and they want 58,000 copies of it, and they want to be able to go upstairs and watch it morning, noon, and night. Dragon Ball Z. It's a show. And Mike's looking at me quizzical like, how'd that one slip by me? I follow all of those Jap cartoons. I don't know what it's about, Mike. It's Dragon Ball Z, man. It's on the Cartoon Network. And they want, I think I saw the Christmas lists. I think they want all the copies of Dragon Ball Z. You know, you want to know what I want for Christmas? I want the whole first season of The Sopranos on videotape. That's all I want. That's all I'm asking for. Do you think I'll get it? Yeah, they got to watch this, and, you know, to the point where they're in tears if I say, hey, come on downstairs and help decorate the tree. Why? Bawling. Maria doesn't get it. She doesn't. I mean, she gets it, but she. Oh, let them, you know, let them. What's wrong with making a kid get involved in a tradition? Well, you know, they work so hard. Yeah, they work so bloody hard. I know they work really hard. Hey, look, kids today, school today is tougher than it was when we were kids. I hate to break the news, but it is. For those of you who don't have kids, suck it up. Kids today have got it much tougher in school. They just do. I've seen the books they're coming home with. I look at the homework they got. I look at the classes they're taking. Did you take language in grade school? I'm talking about elementary school. Did you take Spanish? Did you take French? Were you taking Latin? Were you taking computer? Were you taking algebra in seventh grade? No, you weren't. Don't be nodding your head. You can't even spell algebra. I said seventh grade, not eighth. You're lying to me, Schaefer, if you're telling me you took pre-algebra in the third grade. So they got it tough. They worked their asses off. I got it. You know, I got that covered, all right? But there's nothing wrong with saying, come on downstairs. Oh, look at this. Melissa took quantum physics in Montessori. That's great. First grade, quantum physics. I said, come on downstairs and help decorate the tree. And it's a big, they're crying. Okay, great. I guess Santa Claus is not going to, and then the next thing you know, there's a couple of them down there and they're going to be decorating the tree. Throw that Santa Claus word around a couple of times. Talk about how maybe they won't be getting what they think they're getting. Suddenly, there's a whole crew of them down there. And yes, we believe in Santa Claus at our house. We believe very strongly. I don't believe in Santa Claus from the standpoint of the old Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus letter that was published in the New York Sun, the very famous one. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about tradition. I'm talking about keeping a tradition alive. And if you're a parent who doesn't believe that Santa Claus should be taught to your children, and you think it's very destructive, well, that's good for you, you know, and I hope you choke sometime during the new year. Thank you. I'm Phil Hendry. What do you think of that, Melissa? You think it's destructive, don't you? Oh, you like it? We teach the kids about Santa Claus, and we like keeping that tradition alive in our house. And for people who say that it's a big lie and you should stop lying to your children and that Santa is destructive, Jeff thinks Santa's a commie. That's true, he is, because he's just giving it away. Then, like I said, have yourselves a really Merry Christmas. You're a real killjoy and a real deadbeat. And, oh, man, I wouldn't want to have you at my party. What a bore you must be. We don't teach the kid about Santa Claus. Well, we do. And we're going to continue to do it. And the kids like it, and, you know, that's just the way it's going to be. But I'll tell you one thing right now. If those kids don't help me decorate that tree, then they're not going to get that computer they wanted. Which, by the way, I saw somebody's lists. Computers? Forget it! Computers they want. and they want the Palm Pilot, and they got to have the upgraded new iMac, and they have to have all this stuff, man. And then we got the bill the other day because one of the kids went online. I got a $500 internet bill because they didn't know enough to their dial-up number was a long-distance number, and they're downloading on Napster. And it's taking 18 years to download these songs on Napster. So we had a one day, he was online for like 9 hours straight. But the kids don't get this. Oh, you know what the other thing he wants? He wants an ATM card. He wants to have an ATM card and a cell phone. And I said, dude, do you want to look like every other jive ass out there? Do you want to look like every other midget out there with a cell phone? Every other midget with a book bag and a cell phone? Every other jive ass standing around trying to look important when we all know that you're just dialing up 411 repeatedly? Just trying to get movie times? That we all know that the only thing you're listening to is just the repeating message on the movie line, you know, the, like calling up a theater and hearing, thank you for calling the Bayview 3. Tonight, Sean Connery in Entrapment, rated R, showtimes 3, 5, 7. And he's listening to that all day long, standing on the corner with a cell phone. And the cat wants an ATM card. I says, well, what are you going to do with that? Get money out of the bank? And how's the money going to get into the bank? Well, I don't know. Well, you don't know? Well, yeah. Okay. Let me see. So there won't be any money in the bank. Well, I guess. If that's what you want. Oh, I see. So if I really, really wanted money in the bank, I'd put it in myself? Well, yeah, I guess. You and Mom, I mean, you could put my allowance in. Okay, that's like 13 bucks a week or whatever it is. Which they're going to burn right through. One of the kids, last summer, one of the kids is coming up to me poor-mouthing. Say, Phil, yeah? Can you float me an advance on my allowance because I just burned it all up playing House of the Dead? Yeah, sure, man. Tell you what you're going to do. You're going to do a job. A job? What do you mean a job? You're going to water plants, do something, like scrub down my car. Something. On second thought, don't touch my car. I actually had the kids trying to wash my car one time. Oh, my God, what a disaster. What a disaster. So I got to teach them little jobs, easy jobs. The best thing you can teach a kid is manual labor. Seriously, the best thing to teach a kid, ditch digging. How could they screw that up? It's digging a hole. Another thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get like $200 worth of firewood. I'm going to put it in my truck. I'm going to back it up. And I'm going to have them unload it and stack it. That'll take them all afternoon. And then I'll pay them. And then chop it, too. I'll pay them like a buck. And then I'll stick that into their account. Here, man, here's your ATM card. Knock yourself out. I want an ATM card. But see, here's the trip, man. Kids today are working so hard in school, they don't have jobs. I mean, I understand that. There's no way. At least that's what my kids are telling me. Now, maybe they're feeding me a story. Some kids somewhere must have a job. Aren't there teenagers with jobs? Are they only guys who've got cars, or are they guys who also, like, walk? The public school kids have got jobs. But then the public school kids have always been tougher than the private school kids. Private school kids have always been softer. They've always had mommy driving them to school. They've always had to go and do advanced literature, advanced math, advanced English. And then they have to go and do choir. And then they have to go and do rugby. And they got to do football. They don't have time for jobs. But because they go to private school, their mother and father obviously make enough money so that they don't have to have a job to help support the household or themselves or both. So therefore, as a private school kid, you never really know what it is to have a job. Until you get to be, I don't know, 23 or 24, and somebody brings you in as a junior partner in your fiancé's father's law firm or something. But a public school kid is a tough kid, because his mother and father don't have all that jack to spread around. And if you want to go to the movie, or you want to do something else, then you better get yourself a job, and you better go do it. That's it. I'm pulling my kids out of private school, and they're going into public school tomorrow. The other reason, it's year-round school. Another good reason to have my kids in public school. I'm just kidding. Although I wish I wasn't. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. If we got a good call, we'll put it on the air. Melissa was just hearing the details of my childhood. Maybe I haven't told you stories of my childhood. I don't want to. I don't want it to sound like I was poor. I really wasn't poor, but I came from a dysfunctional background, like a lot of us do, and I didn't have. You know, if I had an adult in my life who would have kicked me in the rear end, and you know, sat me down to do homework and things like that, I think I'm sure things would have turned out just about the way they've turned out. In other words, it wouldn't have made any difference. I would have gone into radio anyway and screwed around and, you know, done what I and do what I do now. But no, seriously, I had a job in high school. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else, because everybody in my generation, we all worked. Did you have a job in high school, Jeff? What'd you do? You washed dishes. I had a dishwashing job. I had gardening jobs. I hated gardening jobs, but I was mowing lawns, working at gas stations. I was chopping down freaking trees. I was, you know, hauling lumber. I had a paper route. Everybody had a paper route in those days. Now nobody has a paper route anymore because you got to have a car to have a paper route. No such thing as a kid going down the street on his bicycle. I don't know why, but I guess it's dangerous. Is that it? Is this one more way that we're protecting the little darlings? In case they get their butts a little too sore in their banana seats? Too many papers to carry? Is that it? The papers are getting bigger? Jesus, the newspapers are going out of business, and we don't even have kids with paper. Everybody, I mean, I guess the big guys were competing for those jobs, right? So some little 11-year-old kid's got a paper route. Screw that. There's a guy with a car. They'll give it to him, even though he's only making 30 bucks a month. Jeez. Nobody reads newspapers anymore, and as a result of that, the newspapers are bigger than ever. I don't get it. So I did all that crap, but now it's not expected because the kids have got too much to, quote, do, end quote. And that's the bill of goods that I'm being sold. Now, I'm not saying I'm being sold a bill of goods in any, negative sense. I'm just, that's what people are telling me. That's what Maria's telling me. That's what the kids are telling me. And I don't know whether it's true. I don't know whether we're really testing the waters on any of this stuff or not. So as a result, the kids get something called an allowance. Now, I know what an allowance is because when I was a kid, other kids had allowances. It's not new. I'm just as stunned today as I was then to hear about allowances, though, because when friends of mine said to me, I get $5 a week allowance, I was like, you're kidding. You're kidding. You mean they just give you money? Yeah. For doing nothing? Well, I got to get up every day and, like, wipe my butt and stuff. Oh, okay. You should get paid for that. You talk about nothing. I had to put my shirt on and, like, walk to the kitchen and eat. All right, yeah, it's worth $10, $15 a week minimum. But seriously, I'd say, well, I don't get that. So I would always just do jobs. I would go up to the little youth employment center in Sierra Madre, and I'd look at the bulletin board, and it would say, kid wanted to wash windows this weekend. I'd grab the card, I'd go to the guy, because it was one of these youth places where, you know, like you're 14 or 15 years old, and I'd walk up and I'd go, I want this job, and the guy'd send me to the place. And some old lady would come out and go, how are you? I'm fine. I'm Philip Hendry. I'd case the house, of course, before, just in case I wanted to come back later on with some friends. But then anyway, hi, I'm Philip Hendry. I'm here to wash your windows.
All right, it's all the way around the back. My husband died 2 days ago this coming fall. Put up the apricots, tasting real good.
And she'd have on, you know, that old lady look. I don't know what it was, the 60s, all the older women still dressed like it was 1922. So when I was in high school, all the old women were from the 20s. So they still wore the 1920s Mother Goose shoe hair thing, you know. Today, all the old ladies are like from the 50s. So they still have that kind of funky look. But back when I was a kid, I'm looking at all these old women who are like a 90-year-old version of Jean Harlow. Just, it's all wrong. Scary, you know? She says, well, go out back there, and I've got all these windows to wash. I had to wash this old lady's windows. And it's up in Sierra Madre, which is where there's a lot of old women canning peaches. That's all I can describe it as. Are you right, Melissa? I mean, Mark lives up there. Aren't there a lot of old ladies up there putting up apricots and stuff? Ellen Corbin from the Waltons. There you go. And she had a whole house out behind her home in which were apricots and cans of crap and all, you know, plants and all kinds of stuff. And I had to wipe these windows down. She'd say, well, do it with the newspaper, Phil, because that'll get the ink from the newspaper. So that's when I first learned how to wash windows with Windex and newspaper. Anyway, that's what you do, you know. And then she'd come out, and, of course, on the little card that she gave to the guy, it says, lady will feed you lunch. So I'm going, that's pretty cool. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And it's 2 o'clock, and I'm starving. And she finally comes out with, like, liverwurst sandwiches or something, you know. Or, like, bologna on bread with butter. Some kind of a concept. Maybe her kid liked that. You know, the kid that still lives with her who's 60. Maybe he likes that when she brings it up to his attic room. The son she has chained to a bed up in the attic. And then I got to go up and clean the windows up there. It's called a jailhouse sandwich. That's what they serve you in jail, man. What are you giving me this sandwich for? So that was what this old lady gave me. And, you know, and you do jobs like that. That's what you did, right? All right, so cut to present day. Now we tell the kids, do you want a job? I brought one of them over here last summer. Remember when I brought over one of the kids here last summer to work? He didn't get it. He just didn't get it. I'm not saying he was lazy. He just didn't get having a job. He didn't get actually working. He didn't get the concept. He didn't understand how one needs to be slightly flexible, especially when one is that young, to accommodate whatever kinds of work people may throw at you. He thought that this was career day and that IBM was on campus offering placement for account executives and that he could sort of pick and choose. He lasted like 2 days. And then his mom said to me, well, but you know, he has this and he has that and he's got a big summer coming. I understand he has a big summer. Okay, screw it. Never mind. So now we have this allowance concept. And what the kids in our family get is $1 for every year they've been alive per week. For instance, if you're 15, you get $15 a week. If you're 13, $13 a week, etc. And the little one, Catherine, gets $9 a week. Now, that doesn't end there, though, because we take out taxes. We have a house tax. We have a charity tax. And the kids, of course, say the first thing that we all say when we get our paychecks on Friday or Thursday, what a jip. Because guess what? What I got in my check and what I make ain't the same thing. And I said, yeah, join the club. And they're giving me this, what about taxation without representation? Ah, shut up. So I said, there you go. Welcome to the world. You make $15 a week, but you don't get it in the check, do you? Well, how come? Because taxes are taken out. What taxes? House tax. Charity tax. And then we have this miniature version of the American population. Well, we shouldn't have to pay a house tax. And we shouldn't have to pay that much for a house tax. And why do we have to pay a charity tax anyway? Why don't those bums get a job? And suddenly I feel like President Clinton or Bush or any one of those guys, and I'm listening to the dumbasses that I was elected to govern. So, like the oldest one gets 15 bucks a week. Well, after taxes, that's about $9 a week. Times four, that's $36 a month, and he wants an ATM card. So he must be getting money somewhere else. Now, I know that we give him money for lunch. I think he gets about 20 bucks a week for lunch. So that's 80, what did I say, 36? It's $126, $116 a month. Is that, you need an ATM card for that? These guys are never without money, that's all I know. Except for the little guy, Chris. He's always broke. He's like a miniature version of me. He has his money, he sees a video game, he parks to that video game until every single solitary red cent that he ever had in his life is in that machine. It's gone. And then it's, say, you guys want me to do a job for you or something? Like what? Maybe I could, like, sit and look cute? Do I get paid for that? Yeah, sure, okay, man. That's like $5 an hour. I got an idea for you. Why don't you take the trash out? God, why? How about you clean out the cat box? Hey, the cat crapped in the living room, man. You think you can clean the cat box out this week? And then it starts in the... So forget it. And that's how we do it at our house. But it saves them the trouble of having to eat one of them jailhouse sandwiches from the old lady with the Mother Goose shoes. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And we do have our personals. How do you know if she's fat? How do you know if she's delusional? How do you know if she has bad toilet habits? How do you know if she's unclean? How do you know if she's psychotic? What are those catchphrases that will tell you when you read the personals whether she's an alcoholic or not? That's why we have our fat alcoholic warnings on the Phil Hendry Show once a week. This comes to you from the Globe. Beautiful, cosmopolitan, sweet, generous, excellent homemaker, educated, old-fashioned, relocatable, seeks American gentleman. What's the phrase in there that tells you she's an alcoholic? That's right, cosmopolitan. You got it. Beautiful, cosmopolitan. Oh, okay. Well, you drink. 63, retired, down-to-earth, country girl, stuck in town, likes raising chickens, fruits, and vegetables, homebody that enjoys short trips. How do you know she's fat? Which phrase? Huh? Well, Jeff says it's short trips to the liquor store. Mike thinks it's the phrase homebody. No, the phrase that tells you she's fat is likes raising chickens. You can't be raising chickens and be in any kind of physical shape. I mean, you know, it's just like you're eating corn like that old, you know, like a typewriter. All right, Filipino widow, good health, no vices, likes dancing, relocatable, looking for financially stable, kind, and caring white Latino gentleman. There's a word in here that will tell you she's delusional, that she literally is probably a borderline personality ready for a soft room. Which is it? Mike thinks it's likes dancing. Huh? Stable? No. No vices. So she's in trouble. Recently widowed, very lonely, unhappy lady, 55. Okay. Recently widowed, very lonely lady, unhappy, 55. Loves country living, animals, country western, non-smoker, would love someone to write and cheer me up. How do you know she's psychotic? There's a lot of stuff in here. I mean, write and cheer me up could be one of the phrases, yeah. I kind of liked loves country living, but no, the psychotic tip-off phrase is non-smoker. Attractive, warm, sincere, honest, youthful widow, 62, average height, 118 pounds, brunette, faithful, trustworthy, traditional values, loving nature, good health, casual lifestyle, no problems. So how do you know this woman doesn't bathe? Casual lifestyle, you got it, there you go. Mike thought it was brunette. Yeah, that's right, Mike. She's a brunette, she doesn't bathe. Well, there you go. That's our fat warning for today on the Phil Hendry Show. Just to get back to the money situation at our house and the fact that the kids want stuff for Christmas and all that crap. And the cat. The cat crapping on the rug, which, you know, would you please clean that up? It's part of your job. We have these chores, you know. This is your week to clean the cat crap out of the box. Somebody ain't doing their job because I picked up cat crap off the rug this morning. Now, cats, you know, I dig them. I got no problem. I'm kind of like Robert De Niro in Meet the Parents, you know. I don't need an emotionally shallow pet like a dog. You know, I want an animal with a little more depth. Cats have depth. They're not just emotionally shallow, dumb things like dogs who need your attention morning, noon, and night, who are literally just a real bother. Just on your back morning. People who have dogs, it isn't so much that they want to give the dog the attention. People need the attention. They like having the dog jump on them because they're lonely, and that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Anyway, Maria used to do a radio show from our house. You know, she was doing her show for Sacramento, and she would broadcast from an office that we had set up. Now, we didn't have a lot of rooms in our old house, and we didn't know where to put the cat box. We had no idea where to put the cat box. You don't put a cat box in the kitchen. That just doesn't happen in any house that I live in. Some people do that, but not anywhere I live. And no, I don't want to have the cat box particularly in the bathroom. That's where people go, not cats. There was only one room that we could think of to put the cat box in, and that was the office, where she was going to do her broadcasting Tuesday through Thursday when she wasn't in Sacramento. And the poor thing, Maria would start her show at 9 o'clock in the morning. And just before she went in there to sit down and start her show, the cat would go in, squeeze off a really, really nice, fetid, stench-ridden dump, and then just sit there licking his paw and kind of just looking around, hanging out in the office, so that when Maria came in and sat down and had to close the door because she needed to insulate the room for sound, the room billowed and filled with this corrosive stench, and the cat's just like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. And I'd go in there to give her coffee, because I'd always bring her a cup of coffee, and she's like, hi, this is Maria Sanchez. And I'd look at her, and her eyes are watering, her nose is running. She's, you know, the eyes are already starting to roll back in her head, and the room stinks like a freaking mustard gas bomb went off. And it's just like a sewer backed up, and the cat's in there just lick, lick, licking a paw, you know. And all I want to do is grab the cat and look at it and go, I know you're doing it. I know you're doing it on purpose. And the cat's looking at me like, what, me? God, you're nuts. Look at the human being talking to me. Yeah, I'm a human being, and I'm talking to you. Get him! He's talking to me. He's nuts. You're taking a crap on purpose in there, aren't you? And all the cat's doing is just looking at you with that dumb cat look. You know how they go limp when you pick them up? Ah, screw it. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with more Tales from the Crypt. Phil Hendry Show.